When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bum, 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 bum.
To save his life, call his wife and hey,
403.
What a day.
How's your boy been? Asking me questions about fantasy football, Jim. That's how my boy's been. How we doing on this glorious Tuesday morning? It is Tuesday, right? Yeah, Tuesday morning. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you for another hour of our five-hour midnight ride. As we take you right up to the warm-up show, almost said morning show. I'm half asleep. There we go. Now I'm feeling good. We started the show off where we will continue right now with the Mets as they went into St. Louis and had an enormous win. That is a very big win. Another great pitching performance from Manaea, who now is the third Mets pitcher in history. Third. To have back-to-back starts of seven innings or more, zero runs given up, and 10 strikeouts. Doc Gooden, Tom Seaver, Sean Manaea. How crazy is that? Not Jacob deGrom. How did he not do that? But another brilliant performance from him, shutting down St. Louis in this one stopgap game as they head to Colorado to take on the Rockies, continue hopefully their winning ways. They need to take another series here against Colorado at the bare minimum of a very important stretch here of this 10-game road trip, a very important month that will end against the two teams that they're chasing, along with the Atlanta Braves, all of them tied for the one wild card. And the Mets a game and a half behind San Diego, Arizona, and Atlanta. And this Met team needs to continue doing what they're doing. You got Bader with an enormous hit in this game. After this offense, since the All-Star break, has been terrible with runners in scoring position. So it led to the manager shaking up the lineup a little bit. He put Tyrone Taylor as the two-hitter and bumped everybody back, including Pete Alonso down to fifth, the first time out of the top four since 2020 for Pete. But they respond, and Bader comes through with a big hit, who's had a great year from them in the nine hole. And gets that first one out of the way, that first hit with runners on, hits the double down the line, gives them a 1-0 lead. And then, of course, you know, when the manager makes a move, you're going to find that person right in the middle of things. And the base is loaded, and Taylor lines one down the right field line, clears the bases, and gives the Mets a little bit of cushion and a nice, comfortable victory along with Manaea's pitching to give the Mets a nice, comfortable 6-0 lead. You add the McNeil home run at the end. And away the Mets go to an important victory. Now they have cemented the season tiebreaker against St. Louis. So if they end up tied in this jumbled up NL wild card thing, they will find themselves at least a game up on St. Louis with more to come against San Diego and Arizona, as I said, at the end of the month. But something happened before the game that we've spent a lot of time on here, and it's involved Pete Alonso. And I talked about Pete Alonso yesterday. And I mentioned that, you know, Pete Alonso right now with his struggles this year offensively. And, you know, he's having a down year. His home runs are down. Everything is down. He's having a down year. And more than that, more than the numbers, his impact on the team has been far less than you would have thought. And if you look at it, and if you look at this group, and you look at this lineup top to bottom that has more above average hitters than anyone else in baseball, and you look at this group and you would say, hey, since they were 11 games under 500 and now they have thrusted themselves back to a game and a half behind the wild card, who's been the most impactful hitter? Who's been the most impactful offensive player in that time frame that changed the season around? And you will go through most of that lineup before you get to Pete Alonso. You certainly go with Lindor. You go with Nimmo. You go with Martinez. You can even go with Vientos, Bader, Iglesias. Like, that's not crazy. They're not the same. Bader and Iglesias aren't the same type of hitter Pete Alonso is. But let's just be fair in the stretch. I can think of more big hits from those two than I can from Pete Alonso. He's having a really down year, and he's making what I thought would be a very, very difficult decision for particularly the owner. I don't know how Stearns works yet. We're going to find out how he operates. Obviously, Pete's a good hitter, and I still kind of want him to be a Met. He's a home run. He's one of the better power hitters in the sport, no doubt. He's had good years. He's had clutch years. He's been a good Met. He's on pace to break every single position player record. We all know it. But the fact of the matter is we know who his agent is. We know how much he's asking for, and we know how much he's going to continue to ask for. And the question was, does it make sense to keep him in the state of the roster and all that? And it felt like it was going to be a difficult conversation because of the ask, because of the nature of Stearns, but yet the owner, who's done everything to appeal to this fan base and to say to this fan base, I know the last regime was different. The Wilpons are different. Let me tell you, I'm one of you, and I'm going to do what I know you want, whether it's build a statue, the uniforms you want. You know, the Tom Seaver statue, the 90s all-black uniforms, the old-timers day, whatever it is. He's been a supporter of the fans, and he knows how the fan base has felt about Pete Alonso. But as you get through this season and you see the failings of him this year and you see the impact he isn't having on this team, it's becoming an easier discussion and an easier decision to just draw a line in the sand and say here but no farther. Where I feel like it would have been tough, much like John Mara was pointing out that he's the most popular player by far, remember that, when talking about Saquon Barkley. I felt like that would have been Steve Cohen saying, well, listen, you know, hey, we want to build Met history here, and this is a guy who could build Met history and, you know, hit 500 home runs and wear a gold jacket wearing a Mets uniform and all that stuff. That's all possible. That discussion is becoming a lot easier, and it became even more so after comments he made before this game against St. Louis when he was asked about his struggles. So I want to play the comments and then we'll react to him again. This was Pete Alonso when asked about his struggles this year offensively prior to the game in St. Louis.
It's true, the numbers are not quite where they usually are. Just, is there anything you can put a finger on of why you haven't fully been able to come around, do you think?
I'm in a position where, I mean, I'm on pace for close to 40 homers. I'm an all-star, I was an all-star this year, so I think that, to beat myself up or be frustrated, it's really no use, and I'm really excited for the end of the year where we get to play winning baseball. So I'm really excited. I'm happy with what I've accomplished this year so far, and I think that there's definitely going to be some opportunities that I'm looking forward to capitalizing on.
I mean, that is... he's an all-star? Is he serious? First of all, the defense and the immediate, like, immediately goes right into being defensive. And I talked about it earlier in the show. That feels like someone justifying his worth as he heads into an offseason. That feels like not New York Met first baseman Pete Alonso. That feels like free agent Pete Alonso answering those questions. And, you know, first off, he's incorrect, right? First, he's not on pace for 40 home runs. That's the first thing. I know he says around 40. He's on pace for, what, 32, 33 home runs? That's around 30 home runs. His home run pace is well down. And the all-star thing, be aware, Pete. Yes, you are an all-star. No one's asking you to take it back. But be aware of what's going on. The perception around the world is that you bullied them into bringing you onto the all-star team by saying you wouldn't participate in the home run derby without it, and they needed you. And you know damn well perception within your own team and your fan base is that, without question, two players on the team are far more deserving of being an all-star than you. So let's not brag about being an all-star this year. And let's not say you're satisfied when you have been as bad as anyone on this team and as bad as you've ever been in your career in big moments this season. You are having a down year. And to stand there and instead of saying, I need to be better, or saying, hey, we're winning and I know I still have a part to play here and I plan on performing in the second half. I know I'm capable of it, whatever. Instead of that, you went into, hey, I was an all-star. Hey, I'm on pace for 40 home runs. Hey, I'm still very good. Hey, I still can't wait for my opportunities at the end of the season. It's the most tone-deaf and selfish-sounding comments from a guy who I don't believe to be selfish. But they are as selfish and tone-deaf a comment that he could possibly have made in that situation. And it's one of these things where now you take into the account his lack of play, you take into account his poor hitting in the clutch, and you take into account the idea that when asked about his struggles, he's focused on proving to you he's worth money, and that's what it feels like. That's the kind of thing that turns fans off. Now, he has an opportunity, as all players do, particularly in this city and particularly on good teams. He has the opportunity to flip the script, play well, become someone who I can't dismiss as inconsequential to the winning down the stretch, because quite honestly, he has to be. Because it's nice to have Mark Vientos doing all this. It's nice to have Iglesias having the best year of his career. It's nice to have Taylor move into the two spot and come through with the three-run double. But Nimmo has cooled off. Martinez has cooled off. You're still, you know, waiting on Marte. Who knows? I don't know if Jeff McNeil is going to be this Jeff McNeil for the rest of the season. Iglesias has even cooled off and played a little bit less since McNeil's emergence. They need him to be one of the handful of guys I would point to as the most consequential of players when it comes to winning. They need him to be that guy. And those comments yesterday are just tone deaf, and it sounds like, hey, I understand I've had a bad... It sounds like, and this is the most important thing, because moving forward, I just said they need him to be that guy. And for the first time, that answer, that response really makes me feel that it's the offseason and the impending free agency that is weighing over him and causing him massive stress. Now, that's not new. People have said that. People have had, you know, Conforto had a miserable year with the Mets, his walk year. Gleyber Torres is having a miserable season on his walk year. Some players react to it great. Some players don't. And so it was always a possibility that this was weighing on him. I don't think there's any more thought. I don't think there's any more, oh, it's a possibility. It's clearly weighing on him. Because when he's asked about his struggles, the first thing he goes to is his resume. The first thing he goes to is the numbers. The first thing he goes to are the few brief highlights he might have in an otherwise down year. Why? Because he's concerned about his value. Because he's afraid this year is ruining his value. And in that moment, that's how he reacted. Not Met first baseman Pete Alonso, free agent Pete Alonso. It's not the end of the world. I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think that I'm concerned now getting out of the slump, because you know what? That impending free agency isn't going anywhere. That added pressure of it being your walk year, it isn't going anywhere. Now, can you have a bad season and then a great postseason, or carry this team the last few weeks and get them over the hump into the playoffs and flip the script and add a ton of value to your contract and to yourself, as well as help the Mets win? Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can. But right now, for the first time, I don't think it's about anything else other than he's been letting this thing get to him. And that scares the hell out of me moving forward, because they need him. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. The Yankees will take on the Angels tonight as well. Coming off a good series win against Toronto, where they won the last two games. And this offense needs to continue to hit. We'll see what the lineup is. We'll see if LeMahieu's in it. And we'll see if they do anything with Judge and Soto after Judge gets walked all series long. After he hits a home run against Toronto, they walk him with nobody on. They walk him with any... like, it doesn't matter. Judge is being pitched around. How do the Yankees handle it? 888-808-1019. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing today?
Good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Good. So, I'm 100% on the pitching matchup, because obviously, Gil's been struggling a little bit. They got Stroman, but Gil, I think he's gonna turn around today. He's gonna pitch at least five innings.
Heal's been better. Heal's been better his last three starts or so. So I'm confident he'll go out there. He's refound that slider. I mean, Severino gave him the new grip on the slider. He was really he threw the slider very sparingly when he was really dominant at the beginning of the year. It was a fastball changeup type thing. He was really getting away with the fastball changeup. He has added and incorporated that slider. Right now, that's become his best off-speed pitch, and he has been back to being, he hasn't been dominant. He hasn't gone deep into games necessarily, but he's been much better than that, three-start stretch where he was just getting pounded.
Definitely, yeah. As long as he can go 5-6 innings, even like 4 or 5 strikeouts, I'm happy with that. I mean, just keep the the ball from out from the middle of the plate and try to get you double plays, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about they need to win this series. That's the thing. I listen, the pitching matchups are the pitching matchups. The Angels stink. We know it. The Angels stink. And that's why it was so frustrating for the Mets to lose 2 out of 3. The Yankees can't. With the way the Mets played at the beginning of the year and the way the Mets played at the end of June throughout July, they have built themselves zero cushion. Yes, they have the most wins in Major League Baseball. They do. And they're right there with Cleveland and, oh, actually, I don't know. Did Cleveland win today? I got to double check that. Oh, that's right. They lost to the Diamondbacks, right. And Jock Peterson, right. So they still have the most wins in Major League Baseball. Baltimore was off. So they're right there. But there's no cushion. They're tied for first place. They can't afford to at home, which they have been terrible during this stretch of bad baseball. They had a stretch of 6-for-16 at home in Yankee Stadium. 6-for-16? That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And so now you can't lose 2 out of 3 to Toronto, a last place team that traded away damn near half their team. And you can't lose 2 out of 3 to the Angels without Mike Trout, without Ohtani obviously gone to the Dodgers. Like, you can't do it. This is a series the Yankees cannot afford to lose. An important stretch. They're trying to win this division. They cannot lose 2 out of 3 to the Angels. So we'll see tonight. Then you got the pitching matchup. You got Heal tonight. You got Cortez tomorrow. And then you will have, I think it is Stroman, right? Yeah, Stroman on Thursday. So I don't really care about, I don't care about the Angels pitchers. We know. You got Davis Daniel tonight. I mean, this is a team that this Yankee offense that has been scoring 8 runs a game should have no problem with. The runs should keep coming. And we'll see what they do with LeMahieu. I'm interested to see if they'll play LeMahieu again. It was more than just the game-winning hit. He had good at-bats the entire game. He had 6 RBIs the last time he started. So he's starting to turn around. I'm curious to see if they play him. I don't know where. You're not going to take Jazz off third, I wouldn't think. I'm sure Stan's going to be back in the lineup, and we'll see if they make any maneuver for this lineup with Judge and Soto. The Mets tweaked the lineup with the Yankees. Travis in the Bronx. What's up, Travis?
Chris, what's up, man?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Not bad, thanks. I think the Yankees need to strongly consider bringing Dominguez up. I think their optimal lineup come playoff time is with him in it, and I think that he would provide the strongest bat if they continue to pitch around Judge.
Oh, I don't know if that's fair, man. I mean, you're talking about a kid who came up and had 2 weeks last year. 2 weeks. Well, for those 2 weeks, you're going to tell me that you feel better about him than, Wells, who's become the best offensive catcher in the sport, or for the last 2 months, for the last month and a half he's been, or, Giancarlo Stanton, or even Jazz Chisholm. Suddenly, like, I like. Good.
I like Jazz. I think that the best lineup for the Yankees is with Jazz. And, if Dominguez is anywhere close or, what we expect him to be, which is what everyone should be hoping for right now,
yeah.
I feel like he needs to be in the lineup. You have to assume that he is what we hope he is. Because if he's not, then the Yankees are, in trouble a little bit.
Well, just because he isn't right now doesn't mean he won't be. I'm just saying, he's had multiple injuries coming off Tommy John. Now he's coming off an oblique injury. I think they're going to let him play. Now, you said the playoffs. He's going to be on this roster come September. But I wouldn't expect it for another 3-4 weeks. I really would. Because who's he going to play over? Like, that's the question. Are they ready to jettison Verdugo?
Well, I think at some point, I think Verdugo is the easiest decision to make over
Stanton
and whoever else. So.
Well, it certainly is, but the question is, Verdugo now, over his last, handful, I mean, he's starting to hit better. I mean, that's the point. I mean, he's been, let me look at the last couple games here. Like, he turned it around with that series in Boston, and he's been hitting a little bit better. I don't know if they're ready to just supplant him with a young kid who hasn't proven anything just yet. I mean, the last Oh, the last week he's been brutal. The last 14 days. Is this Verdugo? Yeah, the last week he went back down to... He had a terrible series against Philadelphia, I guess. Yeah, so the last 14 games, last 10 days, 268 with a 724 OPS. So he was turning on. He went cold again. I guess you could jettison him. I just don't think they're ready to do that just yet. But it might be coming. Listen, I'm with you. I want him in the lineup too. I just don't see a clear plan for him. And I think we got to be careful. I want him in the lineup, too. He's going to get called up eventually. I also want him to get healthy a little bit. The guy couldn't stay healthy. He had Tommy John, then he hurt his oblique. Let him have a couple of at-bats. And he's doing fairly well down in AAA. You can't assume he's going to come up and be that same dynamic player. Of course, if you can get what he was at those last 2 weeks, sure. But I don't think you can assume that. And I don't think they're ready to just jettison Verdugo just yet. But it's getting there. No doubt. He's got no connection to this team. He's not on the roster next year. You know, Verdugo is an easy piece to just put on the bench and play Dominguez, 100%. And we'll get there. And, hey, maybe another 5 or 6 games of Verdugo not hitting, they will get there. But I'd be surprised. I think it's going to take some time. But you're going to see him eventually.
And it takes a knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 429, McMonagle here with you. I was just watching Freddie Freeman's press conference. Thankfully, his 3-year-old son Max is doing better, but he's got some neurological disease, and it kept him from walking, and he's going to have to relearn how to walk and everything. And he obviously was spending time away from the team to try and, you know, deal with that. I can't imagine. So it's just brutal to watch him go through it. He's talking about how, you know, during the Giants series, he was, you know, dealing with it, and he got pulled off the field because the doctor wanted to rush his son to the emergency room. And, you know, they're finding out he's got this neurological disease. Just trying to deal with that. I just, you know, obviously you've heard me talk about my sons. I was just going on and on about how he won't shut up about a fantasy football league. I can't imagine having to deal with something like that. So the best to the Freemans, and I guess Maximus is his name. So to Max Freeman, who apparently is doing better and on the way to being, you know, okay, but it's going to take some time. He's going to have to relearn how to walk and do all those things. Terrible story. But hopefully he'll be all right. And our best to the Freemans. I can't even imagine. It's a different thing having kids too. I mean, not that you can't feel for them even if you don't have children, but when, you know, it's just crazy. I've gotten weird with movies too. I can't do it. Things that used to not bother me at all, but since I'm a dad, I can't even look at it. Like things with, you know, sad animals, things happen to animals. I don't know why. Never bothered me my whole life. Now since I'm a father, can't deal with it. Like you get wrapped in it. Everything relates to your children. You can't deal with it. I can't even imagine. So God bless them. Hopefully everything is okay with their son Max. I was just watching it. He's trying to get through it. Very difficult. We'll get back to what we do here. John and Juan. So what's up, John? You're on The Fan.
How you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
All right, got 2 points on Alonzo. First of all, you know, let's not blame Alonzo for the dumb questions the media asked, right? So
that's not
the guy's basically, oh, come on. Oh, yo, how's your year doing? You're not having a great year. I mean, what are you guys supposed to say? Yeah, I suck. I mean, come on.
I'm struggling, but hopefully I'll turn it around. I don't know. Something better than... Hey, I'm on. Hey, come. What do you mean struggle? Struggle? You talking to me?
No, but
are you interviewing the right guy here?
But that leads to my second point. I mean, you just killed me with the Freeman thing because he's a first baseman. But Alonso does lead the major league in first baseman in home runs, right?
I'd have to double check that, but that's possible. But that's, you know,
Guerrero, I think, has 22. I know Olsen's only got like 17 or 18.
He's having a miserable season.
You just killed me with this Freeman thing. Now I feel bad that I even brought it up.
No,
but
That's fine. I mean, he's just been away from the team. Nothing wrong with bringing up.
No, I know, but if Freeman was healthy, I mean, and didn't have the issue with his son, then he'd have about 25 probably homers too himself. But the whole point is that's what Alonso gets paid for.
Okay,
right?
I just got the stats from Fliegelman on the spot. Naylor, Harper, and Christian Walker, all have more home runs at first base than Pete, and Vlad is one behind him. So he's fourth right now in Major League Baseball.
But Harper's already got a contract, right?
Harper's already got a contract, yes. Josh Naylor with Cleveland. I'm not sure his contract situation.
My whole point is we don't base anything on batting average no more, right? That's a fact. We base everything, especially with Alonso, on his OPS and his home runs, right? That's correct. What we base Alonso on.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
his
much.
Career.
That's fair, yes, correct.
Right. So, I mean, if the guy hits 35 homers, right?
Yeah, he's fourth in homers, and in OPS, he's far behind a lot of them, and he's having a down year for himself. Now, if you want to say, there's a reasonable number to keep Pete, absolutely. Pete was asking to become the highest-paid first baseman in history. Pete's asking
hearing from everybody, they're saying, he should have took the Met offer because his money's going to go down. How's it going to go down if he's doing better than Olsen? What's Olsen's contract?
Yeah, but that's 1 year. Olsen hit 50 home runs last year.
I agree. Alonso's been hitting 50 since
that's the difference. Is also Olsen, when he signed, was 28 years old and had won gold gloves. I mean, Pete is
gold gloves, really?
Yeah. Oh no, I'm sorry. That means nothing. It's only half the game.
No, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
I'm sorry.
Gold gloves don't mean anything.
What are you talking about? Gold gloves don't mean anything. Of course they do.
I never hear anybody talk about gold gloves. All I ever hear about is OPS.
Yeah.
How many runs they hit and how fast they hit the ball.
No, well, of course the gold glove defensive matters. If you're a better first baseman, a better defensive first baseman
helps. He's not Keith Hernandez, but he's a very good first baseman.
No, he's not a very good. He's okay.
What's
your point? Do you want him? That's fine. Do you think he's not having a down year? Like, what's your point? That the Mets should keep him and doesn't matter how much money he gets?
No, but I'm comparing him to his position.
Yeah.
So if you go by his position, I mean, Christ, Harper was an outfielder, right? And they converted him to a first baseman. Let's calm down with that. He signed his contract as an outfielder.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going by the position, he's got to get paid more or the same as Olsen and some of these other guys.
Yeah, I mean, process going in. But you got to understand, Olsen coming off a great year, younger, better defensive player. So, I mean, it's not that – I agree with you that ultimately it's probably going to be right around the same. Maybe it's a little more, maybe it's a little less. The question is whether or not the Mets are willing to pay that, considering where they are, the other money they want to put into this team. If they view him as a winning player, can they figure out – they could put Vientos at first base and go out there and get a third baseman. Like, this isn't the only – Alonso isn't the only way to build this roster.
I understand. I wouldn't give him more than like 7 years, 150 or 160.
Okay,
that's what I would give him.
I'm
not saying giving him 250, but I hear people say, he should have took the 125 when the Mets offered it. Why? Why would he do that?
I don't know about that. Was that the number, 125? Was that the number? They offered him 158, the Mets.
Okay, for what, 6-7 years?
Yeah, I mean, that's not that's right around where he's going to get. I agree with you. I don't think he's going to come away from this and just be like,
I just don't like when people are putting the guy down because he's having a bad home run season when he's right up there with the other guy.
He's having a miserable season altogether. Who cares about the other guy? I'm watching the Mets and I'm watching other.
I'm watching him having nothing.
His numbers with runners in scoring position is terrible. He's having a terrible year.
If I compare him to other first basemen, and I'm Steve Cohen, or I'm the general manager,
I don't have to compare him to other first basemen. Not strictly, not exclusively. There's a lot to it. It's about what kind of player he is, how they project him on how he's going to age out. They got to project him on how he impacts this team, what they have on the roster, and how they can refill his position as opposed to filling other positions. Like,
did everybody stop to think that maybe he's in the lineup, right? And he's a factor in the lineup where everybody says he's not a factor. But how do you know that these other guys would be playing well if this guy wasn't even in the lineup? If you take Alonso out of the lineup,
yeah,
are these other guys going to be hitting as well as they are now? He's a factor.
I think that's, I mean, now, so now he's just, you know, he's a placebo. You put him in there to get everybody else. Like, come on. He's got to produce.
Come on, you know.
He's got to produce.
You know you can't throw this guy a fastball, huh?
That's Major League Baseball these days. They don't throw fastballs in hitters' counts. Like, that's just, that's the way it is. Like, I don't know. He's got to produce. You're making a million excuses for him. He's not having a good year. That's all I'm saying.
Excuses.
That's exactly what you're doing.
I think he's having a bad year.
Well, there you go.
Right. I think he's having a bad year. But right. I think at the end of the day, you just got to pay him to what other first basemans get
paid. All right, well, Matt Olson got eight. Matt Olson got 8 for $168 million. The money might be comparable. He's not getting 8 years.
No, I don't think he deserves 8 years. Yeah. I think 7 is fine. Well, I think 7 is fine. It'll be 37 then.
I think the Mets are going to look to give him 5 or 6, to be honest with you. Now,
give him the 7 years.
Right, but I'm saying is if Pete Alonso had a typical Pete Alonso year where he had a 900 OPS and he was on pace for 45 to 50 home runs, we'd be talking about him breaking the bank. And we'd be talking about the owner saying, I don't care what it costs, the fan base deserves him, and he's been their guy, and he's going to break all kinds of records in a Met uniform. And so the conversation is over. That's what I think
a lot of us expected. Even if Alonso was hit 45 homers this year, I would still say he's not worth more than 7 years, 170, 180. That's what I would still say.
I think he wants more than that. I think he would have wanted more than that. He might have got it hitting 50 home runs or something. But again, it doesn't matter. Like, we're hung up on Olson. Olson was how many years younger? 5 years younger? 4 years younger? By the time when he signed that contract, 3 years. Yeah, Alonso's going to be 30, so he's 3 years younger. So an 8-year contract becomes a 5-year contract. I mean, but again, this isn't about whether or not Pete Alonso is going to get paid. He's going to get paid. He's got a track record hitting home runs. I never once said Pete Alonso isn't going to get paid this offseason. What I'm saying is, do the Mets have to pay him? Because it felt like, at the beginning of the year, in my opinion, the Mets had to pay him. And now with this season, I'm starting to think they don't have to pay him. Because we're watching this team have its best offensive year in forever. The offense is doing as well as it's ever done in the last 5 or 6 years, and they're doing it roughly without Pete Alonso being a major contributor. You want to say he's a factor in the lineup? Okay, great. So is Stanton. We're going to say he's having a great year? Richard in Brooklyn. What's up, Rich?
Hey, I totally agree with Alonzo. This remark that he made about being an all-star and all that, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He knows he deserves to be there this year. He's having a bad year, without a doubt. I can't count the times I've seen him. First base, ground is the first base, hitting the first pitch coming. And he's got a bad season. I mean, there was one time he hit 20 home runs in 50 games once in his career. I don't see it happening in these last 50 games.
No, yeah, he's not gonna hit 40 home. He's gonna be right around 40 home runs, maybe if he gets hot here, but he's probably not gonna hit 40 home runs. And he's having a down year. I just want to make sure we're all clear. I'm disappointed in the comments. They seem selfish. They seem like a guy who's more focused in that moment. To be fair, in that moment with that, he became extremely defensive in that moment and is trying to make sure he still projects his value. And it seems like someone who's really let this offseason and this impending free agency get to him. And now I'm concerned that this is the kind of thing that free agency is not going anywhere. And the Mets need him to get better. The Mets need him to get hot. Doesn't mean he can't. I'm just saying this element clearly is bothering him. It's more than just the slump. He is allowing this free agency to impact him when I see comments like that. That's my main point. My main point is they need him to get better. They need him to have a better year with runners in scoring position. They need him to do more. They need him to be more impactful. And I'm concerned that the main reason he hasn't been is now clearly because of those comments, he is allowing this situation to weigh on him. And that's not going anywhere. So now I'm concerned. That doesn't mean he stinks. It doesn't mean he's not going to get a reasonable contract. He's going to make generational money with his comment. He's going to get $150 million. He's hit 40 home runs 3 or 4 times. He's a proven player. He's still 30 years old. It's not like he's a disaster of a signing. But the question is, for me, how is he going to perform the rest of this year? And then when it does come down to free agency in the Mets, I thought the owner would be in his back, would have his back, because he felt the fan base would be furious with him if they let Pete Alonso go. And what I'm seeing now off of this year, off of a little bit last year, off of comments like this, and off of watching the offense flourish without him being a major factor in it, that maybe the fan base could be sold on the flexibility of the roster and doing things differently and not paying Pete Alonso big money if they're going to go out and sign Juan Soto or do different things like that. Now it doesn't seem like, oh my God, how do you explain to this fan base they just lost Pete Alonso? Where at the beginning of the year, that's what I would have said. How does Steve Cohen, who bends over backwards to give this fan base everything it wants, from statues to jerseys to Old Timers Day to everything, how does he look this fan base in the face and say, yeah, you know this guy who might be the best position player we've ever had by the end of it, who might have 500 home runs, who might go into Cooperstown as a homegrown Met, I'm going to let him go because I don't want to pay him. How does that owner say that to this fan base? That was my question. That is getting easier and easier to see as the days go by. That's all I'm saying. Not that he's a bum, not that he won't get paid. It felt like, how does the owner say no to this fan base? And I'm not sure that it's that tough a no anymore. It's lessening. And the only way to get that back is to perform down the stretch. And I'm concerned that he's allowing this contract stuff to hamper him from getting to that kind of player. And that's not going anywhere. Those are my concerns.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
So, yeah, me and Fleece just talking during the break. The Mets offered him 7 at 158, Alonso. So that's 22.5 a year. I mean, Olsen is getting 21 and then 22. So that's the same average value as Olsen. But he was 3 years younger and a Gold Glove winner. So, I mean, you're talking about, like, to get back to that number of 158 off a 30-year-old first baseman who's had now two declining seasons. Body type, not the same as Olsen, not as limber or as good athletically. I said he's going to get 150. I don't know if he, I mean, listen, and especially you look at how the contracts went last year, how many guys had to wait until the very end, how many guys took, you know, Bellinger couldn't get paid. A lot of different, who, and everyone thought he was going to get $200 million. He won an MVP. I mean, had miserable years, but won an MVP. I don't know if Alonso's going to get 150. I don't. I kind of said it cavalierly. The more I think about it, maybe he doesn't. He does have a track record. He hits home runs. He's got an 860 OPS career. He's better first baseman than people will give him credit for, but not a great one, not as good as Olsen. He might not, you know, he might rue the day he didn't take that 7-year, $158 million contract from them, especially if he wants to be a Met. Because even if he does get to it, he's not going to, like, blow by it. He's not going to get he's not going to get 180. He's not going to get 200. I mean, maybe he gets back to around 150, 158, but if he wanted to be a Met, it would be already be done, and he'd probably be having a better season, to be honest with you. Especially after those comments make me think this is weighing on him. All right, let's get to the phone calls here for the last few minutes. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac, good morning. I know you're up against it. But, yeah, no, just to touch on that, look, you know, I mean, look, I love Alonso. I would love him to stay here, but even I got to admit, I mean, like, even his defense has kind of declined a little bit this year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's a lot to like about him. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he does play virtually every game. Yep. The guy is tough even when he gets hurt. I mean, yep. You got to give him that.
No doubt.
Right? You know, and yes, he's having, you know, the contract could very well be weighing on him. And I understand to a certain point about the comments because, I mean, he's not going to come out and say he's been the worst thing on the team. Because
no,
what
course.
Does that do for his value also? I understand that, but it also doesn't come at a good time given how the rest of the team is performing. It does make you wonder, you know, where is his place on the team at the moment, okay? It's going to be a tricky situation, but, yeah, you know, I personally, again, I would love for him to stay. I think once he gets the contract, it might be a big load off his mind. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah. No, listen, I agree. Especially like that's my point. Like, listening to that, like, it feels like it's weighing on him now. So, yeah, the idea that, you know, maybe once he gets the contract, he has a bounce back season, almost expected. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. But
right,
you can't go get paid and say, hey, listen, if I don't have a contract over my head, I'll play better. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, right. I mean, that's hard to say, too. And I never like comparing players because, you know, the people are a little different. I understand, you know, the as far as age, you know, for the position or whatever. But, I mean, overall, the season has been, you know, on both fronts has been a little bit lower. So it is frustrating. That's the best way I'll put it. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But
it has been frustrating.
We'll see how it goes. But, anyway, they got to keep doing what they're doing. That's really the main thing.
No, of course. You got it, Eric. They got to go into Colorado tonight and win. They got to go win 2 out of 3, bare minimum. And, yeah, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if Alonso has a great year next year. I think and I still want the Mets to sign him, by the way. Like, I'm not – this is not me saying, woohoo, Mets off the hook for signing Pete Alonso. I still want him to sign Pete Alonso. I'm just saying that now the money's going down, and I felt the owner would have that extra motivation of making sure he not to upset the fan base. And I think the fan base now, off of these 2 years, knowing the money Pete's been asking, you know, it's watching this offense thrive without him being a huge part of it, maybe that becomes a little bit more tolerable for the fan base. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chrissy. What's happening, man?
What's up?
As far as the Jets, let's get on the Jets. How do you feel about Rodgers saying he wants to play preseason and then Saleh already saying he's going to see reps in third.
Yeah, he said he was. I mean, I don't know if Rodgers came out and said, I want to play, but he did say it was news to him after the coach said that he was not going to play in the first 2 games. Yeah, they were not on the same page. As far as the beginning of these preseason games, that's for sure. It doesn't really bother me too much. I mean, there has been some stuff here. They're going to have to figure it out. Obviously, along with the comments about, you know, it being an unexcused absence, he didn't seem to like that, Rodgers. And clearly now they're not on the same page about, you know, how many snaps he's going to take preseason. But ultimately, once they get in the swing of things, it's about playing football. I'm not too hung up on it.
You think it's more about Rodgers getting worried about Rodgers getting hurt or showing Saleh showing his hand that they really don't know what they're doing still?
Well, how would they if he played, how would they show their hand on them not knowing what they're doing?
If they come in with first string and they don't look so great week one or week two, all of a sudden the finger pointing is going to be at the coaching staff, right? If they do, second string and third string, there's not too many finger pointing before the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. I think that's minimal. I don't think anybody gets too hung up on these preseason games, especially Aaron Rodgers coming off the Achilles injury. I think it's more about just getting him out there, getting him comfortable. If he goes out there and plays a drive and goes 3 and out, or he goes out there and plays 2 drives and has 7 plays and 2 incomplete passes or something, you think all of a sudden the media is going to be like, what the hell's going on in Jets land? I don't know. I don't think so.
Sure.
I don't think there's
excuses this year, right? No excuses.
Yeah, but thankfully they don't have to make excuses for preseason games. Like, no one cares about the preseason games. It's just a matter. No Jet fan, no media member. The only thing that will come from Aaron Rodgers playing in preseason games are, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. He could throw 3 pick-sixes. No one's going to give a damn.
Man, I don't get it, man. Everybody's got him at 12, 13 wins, and Vegas got him at 9.
Yeah.
There must be something wrong going on around
here. Maybe something going on. Listen,
the trick is in.
If you could find it at 9 with Vegas, I'd say take it, because I like the over at 9. I like this Jet team. Maybe I'm wrong. Listen, I'm not invested with them. I hope I'm wrong. I hope both of my football takes are dead wrong. For all I care. I mean, I don't. I hope the Jets are good. But I hope I'm wrong on Daniel Jones. I hope I'm wrong all over the place. I want the Giants to win. I want the Jets to win. But I like the Jets. I mean, you look at this roster, they're talented. As long as Rodgers is there running this offense, I think their run game, the offensive line they've added, Williams to go along with Wilson. I just, and the defense, as hopefully Hassan Reddick eventually decides to play, the ability to get after the pass rush, the ability to stop the run, the best best cornerback tandem possibly in the NFL. I mean, I think they're really good on paper. Now, on paper, I saw Joe's comments. Yes, on paper doesn't mean anything. Of course, it does not. But I don't think anyone's too concerned about. I don't think they're worried about hiding how bad they are offensively. They're not hiding it. They're watching. Like, these practices are watched by the media. And everything you say is that Aaron Rodgers, everything you hear and read is that Aaron Rodgers looks phenomenal. You think they're worried about him playing in the preseason looking bad? I really don't think so. I think they're worried he gets hurt. I think they don't think he needs it, and it's not worth the risk. And that'll be dependent on Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play, they should let him play. I know it's, how many decisions are you going to let Aaron Rodgers make? All of them, except roster ones now. I mean, like, on how whether or not he plays, yeah, it's on him. It's his body. He's a veteran. He's one of the greatest to ever play this game. He knows what he needs. If he needs to play, he needs to play. If he doesn't need to play, then don't play. Whatever he wants to do. And I know, the coach has got to be the taskmaster. The coach makes this decision. The coach. I get it. They are on somewhat of equal footing, and that's very uncomfortable for a lot of people. I get it. And maybe ultimately it will be their demise. I don't think so. I think when you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you let him be Aaron Rodgers. He's won a hell of a lot of games. How many games have the Jets won? All right, that's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for making these 5 hours just fly on by. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m., hopefully, if the Yankees get the game in. It looks like rain, but we'll see. Mets in Colorado. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Mets. We'll have another day of Lions and Giants practice to react to. Should have some fun. Thank you, Fliegelman. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Catch you at 2 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.